Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
All right, now you've got two pieces of paper, don't you? And the first one is a flash paper. It's a small piece, and that's what's going into the burning bowl. And the other piece, the white piece, is a little larger. And I'd like you to put, maybe you've started working on this, already, but regardless, on this flash piece of paper, I'd like you to write, "I release," okay, at the top. So whatever else you write on there, you're going to release. These are the things we're releasing. We no longer serve us. There are conditions, habits, things in our lives that are no longer for us. And so we're going to release them. And then on the white sheet, it's more important you get the flash paper done, because we're going to do that work right now. The white piece of paper, though, I'd like you to write "I affirm" or "I claim" at the top of it. And you've got a whole week to work on that one, because we're going to spend time on it, and it kind of builds up to the white stone Sunday, so you don't have to rush the white piece, okay? Because it's good to sleep on it, you know, sleep on the ideas we want to make manifest, not rush it. But we're so familiar with the stuff we want to release, it's pretty easy to write it all down on those flash pieces of paper. And you can work on it during the sermon. This is the only sermon of the year where nobody's listening to me, because you're all busy working on your flash paper, so I can do what the heck I like. You know, I can do anything now. I love that song, and Yurko sang it so beautifully. But I also like the Who song, "I'm Free." You remember that one from Tommy? "I'm free, I'm free, and freedom tastes of reality." I love that line. Freedom tastes of reality. You know, there's something about freedom that brings us back to the truth of our being. And it goes on, "If I told you what it takes to reach the highest high, you'd laugh and say, nothing's that simple." And this is the thing about truth, isn't it? Truth is so darn simple and yet not easy to practice sometimes. You know, it's not complicated, it's simple, but where's it hiding? Usually right under our noses. It's so simple, it's hiding right there and we don't see it, right? Because we're filled with all the complications of our lives. "You'd laugh and say, nothing's that simple." Well, yeah, it's simple, but that doesn't make it easy. "But you've been told many times before, Messiah's pointed to the door, no one had the guts to leave the temple." Great line, isn't it? In other words, what we have to get rid of is all the conditioning, the conceptualizing, the institutionalizing of truth, you know, where we've got ideas about it and we've got preconceptions or baggage or institutions are trying to control our truth, right? Real truth cannot be controlled, can it? No institution. And this isn't putting down churches. Good Lord, we have one here. But no institution got us to enlightenment. No institution got us to freedom. Who got us to freedom? The Who. No, not the Who. We did. Don't start sabotaging my sermon now. This is important work I got to do here. If the Who helped you, dear, that's great. But, and they helped me too. Freedom tastes of reality. You know, part of reality is joy, isn't it? Part of reality is the direct experience of something, right? And that is available right now because we have direct experience. We are here before the past and the future, right? All the thoughts about the past and the projections into the future, there is simply the now, yeah? And in that moment, we are free. And the now is pretty good if you think about it. We're in a nice warm place. We're going to do a really cool ceremony, right? Nobody's judging us, at least for this hour. That's nice. In fact, we are welcoming everybody, and we are supporting each other. So we're quite blessed right now in this moment, in this direct experience of something. It's only when we bring in baggage from the past or worries about the future that things get problematic. But imagine it, if you didn't have to do that, if you were centered and poised in this moment of direct experience, you would be equipped, right? You would be empowered, And then when you looked at all your seeming problems, you would see them in a different light. Yeah? So it works in every way to be in this present moment. Because even if we get lost, then we forget again, we can bring that energy, we can bring that focused attention. Zen Master is really good about this. I found two quotes that I like. First one is, what in this moment is missing or is wrong? What in this moment is missing or wrong? Nothing, right? In this very moment, it's only when we add things about our story and about our past and about our worries about the future that things seem to go wrong. But in this very moment, nothing is missing, nothing's wrong. In fact, it's a pretty cool place. I can't wait to get here every week. You know what I mean? I look forward to this moment. It's a wonderful thing to commune with like-minded and like-hearted people, right? There's nothing like that. And that's great for Sunday, but we could take this moment wherever we are. Isn't it the creative moment? It's when we are able to be free to create, whether it be music or pottery or cars or whatever it is, or our profession, we're able to be in that flow. Here's another one from the Zen tradition. Who is it that constrains you? Now, so often we'll say, well, it was them, obviously. You know, if they hadn't got in the way, right? I could have been a contender, that consciousness. But if you're really honest, who is it that constrains you? It must be us. See, if we say it's somebody else, what it really is my perception of that person that I've internalized, right? That I've allowed them to have power in my life. Once I understand the truth that the only person that can constrain me is myself, and I project it on that other person. So this is the thing. We're not putting people into the burning bowl, all right? They did not constrain you. We are not burning anybody today. Please don't do that. So maybe look back at your sheet and say, what is it about that person that's a problem that I have internalized? That's what I want to burn, not the person themselves. And what's the good news about that we are the ones that constrain ourselves? What's the good news? We can change, can't we? That's the whole idea of the burning bowl, right? That's why you have two pieces of paper. One is to release, in other words, to do the change, to change from giving power away to being self-responsible, and saying, that was mine, and I'm going to choose to release it. And then once you've created a vacuum, a space, an opportunity, which is what the release is, then you can affirm the truth. Now, don't fool yourself into thinking that once you've burned it, it's gone forever, because it will revisit you. But what you've chosen to do in the burning is remove it from the central point of focus and attention in your life, right? You have put it in its rightful place, and then the work of this week is to put something better, greater, and higher in that vacuum, right? Because nature, I knew that from science, right? Nature abhors a vacuum. Nature loves to fill a vacuum. See, where we've got the release aspect and then the affirmative stay. I'm free, and freedom tastes of reality. I love some of the work of Byron Katie. I don't know if anybody's familiar with her. Yeah, she's a great spiritual teacher, and she really asks us to look directly at ourselves and find out the truth of what's going on. And she's got the thing called The Work. She's written a number of books. Basically, the idea is, how do I know this is true? How do I really know that this condition, story, problem, construct is true? And what would it be like without it? How could I imagine a new life without it being there so true in my life? And it's immensely freeing because, again, it's the same idea. It's releasing this grip we have on a story. And she says this, reality is always kinder than the story we tell about it. Isn't that lovely? Reality is always kinder than the story we tell about it. In fact, reality, God, is unconditional love, right? God is on our side. Or if you don't like God, spirit. Creative energy, power, the presence is on our side, right? And wants to bring good things into our lives. But we tell ourselves all kinds of stories about that. Oh, I don't deserve it. It's not going to happen today. It'll happen when my ship comes in. I'll put it off till later. All these stories. But reality is constantly telling us, hey, it's not about sometime in the future. It's about claiming it now. It's about claiming it now. She also said this, which I think is really profound. She says, I don't let go of my concepts. I meet them with inquiry, then they let go of me. Say that again. I don't let go of my concepts. In other words, I'm not struggling to overcome my lesser nature. I am moving into a place of reality, into my true nature. And if you ever do that, what happens to all the false concepts and false ideas? They cannot abide being in that place. If you let your light shine, right, everything that's not real will disappear. In fact, it'll run as fast as it can away from it because it's been found out as not real. Right? So when I come into my truth, I don't have to worry about how do I overcome my difficulties and concepts and constructs and story. They will naturally dissolve. So the work is to really affirm. That's why the release is only the first part of this, folks. The affirmation. I can't seem to say that word. What's that about? What? Next week I'll be able to. Is that? I'm going to work on that. My word is... be able to say affirmation. Okay. There's always a choice, isn't there, in our lives? Would you agree? And this is what we're partaking of right now. You know, we talked about Byron Katie and Zen. Let's bring a little Bible in here, shall we? It's just a little bit of Bible. This is Paul talking in 2 Corinthians, because he understands this too. He says, whenever you turn to the Lord, the veil is removed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's very metaphysical, isn't it? So whenever you change your focus from worry and concern to spirit and possibility, right, the veil is removed. In other words, the confusion, the barrier between you and your good is removed, right? I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. It's not that the obstacles disappeared, you know. It's not a cotton candy life just because you found God. There's still going to be difficulties, but you will see them clearly, and therefore you will be able to walk around them. Yeah, you don't stumble into them all the time. I love that song. Pure spirituality, isn't it? I can see clearly because the veil is removed. Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, said this. He said, freedom is the result of regulating one's life according to principles, not according to what anyone else may think or say. And that includes ego. What anyone else, what my ego says. No, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to listen to the truth of my being. Now, you may ask, well, how do I know the difference? You were going to ask that. You just nodded. All right. Inquiring minds want to know. That's good. What I do is, if my action is magnanimous and generous, I know it's coming from spirit, right? But if my action is mean-spirited and I want to get even with someone, I know it's coming from my ego. So therefore, in any moment, you've got a choice to how you respond to something. Now, am I going to respond by trying to cut that person down or get in my way or, you know, making it work for me? Ego. But if I'm coming at the situation where it can be a win-win for both of us and I'm large-hearted about it, I feel generous, do the generous thing. Because if you do the generous thing, it will always come back to bless you. Whereas the ungenerous, mean-spirited thing will always come back to bite you. Yeah. Just a shout out to the folks who gave up their precious time last night to do Samaritan House. And I think six of them got there, right, and did it. It was alluded to earlier. This is an example for me of putting it into practice, right? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do the generous, magnanimous thing. I observed somebody cleaning somebody else's house yesterday and doing a loving thing. And when that person got home later, they said, thank you so much. That was really nice. I didn't expect that. That's a generous act, isn't it? And it's a bit of a chore, you know, doing something like that. But the rewards are great. The rewards for the person who received it, but for our own souls, you know, who do we choose to be? Let's close with another quote, this time from Jesus, from a passage we know quite well. We've all heard it. This is John 8. We usually hear the second part, but we don't hear the first part. And the first part really tells us and explains how the second part works. Okay, this is it. This is from John 8, 31 to 33. Jesus said, "If you stand by my teachings, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." We're familiar with that part, right? You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But how? How do you know the truth? Well, it says, if you stand by my teachings. Well, the teachings are what? Teachings are love, generosity, forgiveness, wisdom, innocence, non-resistance. If you stand by those teachings, so what does it mean to stand by? Live it. You know, if somebody's standing up for the truth, a lot of people are afraid to stand with you, aren't they? Ooh, it's too dangerous. But if somebody's standing up there, like Jesus did, and you stand by that person, it means I am willing to be counted among those people who believe this truth. Yeah? So if you're standing by these principles, I mean, I'm going to put this into practice in my life this year. And we have a whole year to do this wonderful work, don't we? And it begins, though, by release. So I'm hoping you got your release flash paper ready. Have you? Yep. Ready to go? Did anybody not get it? Because we'll pass them around if you need. Anybody need more? It's a tiny piece of paper. We need more paper, please. There's an usher around. Thank you. And we're going to listen to some beautiful chant music while we do this. The flash paper burns really quickly, and as, after I've lit the kerosene stove here and there, it'll just go. And even if yours doesn't burn initially, if it falls to the side, it will burn once another one falls in there. It flashes. So be aware of that. Do not put your hand too far in there because it really goes like that, okay? And if it, by any chance it doesn't burn, I will lift it in there at the end. So don't worry. Your flash paper will burn. Okay, so now the ushers are going to come down and guide us. And what we like to do is come down the center aisle, go back around the side. And if we can all, as we do this, just prayerfully hold everybody in the light, right? That this is a powerful releasing of old and that which no longer serves us. We are supporting each other. You are being supported, and we are supporting every person in this sanctuary today. So it's a holy and joyous occasion. So let us begin.
Thank you for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at www.unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We thank you for your contribution and affirm with you. Divine love flowing through us blesses and multiplies all that we give and all that we receive.